Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I'm really happy the music is playing itself and I don't have to do it, but it seems like it's so much louder now than it used to be. Oh, anyways, this is the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and, well, if you're wondering why we're here at 5 o'clock, sadly, Dan's daughter took ill and he had to stay home and take care of her, but luckily the Cubs game ended in time for Schomburg Stew to join us. Yay!
Right, and, I'm here in rainy Schomburg waiting to talk sports with you.
Oh, all right. Well, if you want to call in and talk to Stu and I, or just Stu, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs do go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so there was a brand new one that popped up over there this morning. Hopefully you got a chance to check it out. If not, hey, it's still there, so don't worry about it. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, Stu still hasn't built that Twitter account yet. We're working on that. But you can find me over there at Burke Time. So there you go. We are off and running, or in my case, barely moving. But we'll take it. So...
well, it beats the alternative.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, definitely. And since it is Wednesday, we did have some early games. As I mentioned, the Cubs did get a win. They won 8-4 against Milwaukee. Kyle Hendricks actually picked up the win. Junior Guerrero took the loss. The other Chicago team got a win as well. The White Sox beat the Tigers 6-5. Carlos Rodon got the win. Jordan Zimmermann took the loss in that game. And Luis Avalon picked up a save. And then the third final as of right now, the Twins beat the Pirates 6-4. Gabriel Moya got the win. Edgar Santana took the loss. And Trevor Hildenberger picked up the save for the Twins. And as Stu mentioned, we talked a little just a second or two as we were going off the air, the Mariners and the A's are actually still playing. It's the top of the 11th, and believe it or not, in this baseball world where home runs are king and teams score a bazillion runs, it's nothing to nothing in the top of the 11th. So it's been an offensive explosion there.
You don't see that happen too often anymore.
No, I can't remember the last time a game went into extra innings at 0-0.
Yeah, I remember Cubs game going about 17 innings and finally the Cubs wound up losing this 1-0. I think it was a 17-inning contest. Very frustrating to see that happen.
So, and you know, I'm willing to bet you probably don't even realize this, and it actually has to do with the Cubs. Do you know that the Cubs made a trade today?
Yeah, I heard about that. Great hitter, terrific major league hitter they got.
Yes, they acquired Terrence Gore from the Kansas City Royals. The Royals are getting cash considerations back. Gore is a 27-year-old. They describe him, his positions on Baseball Reference are pinch runner is the first one, then designated hitter and left fielder. He's a left fielder who has actually never played more than 17 games in the majors, but did steal 11 bases in that same year in 2016. So, yeah, his description of pinch runner fits very nicely.
Certainly not pinch hitting, though.
No. Oh, God, no. No, he is a career 214 hitter, and even this year at AAA, he's hitting a robust 211 in 67 games. So.
Yeah, obviously the Cubs got him to steal a base or two, but I'm thinking, couldn't they have got something better than that?
I get it. You know, he'll come up in September, and he'll give guys breaks here and there, but, like, the article I was reading – was actually talking about the Cubs carrying him on the postseason roster. And I was just kind of like, wouldn't you just as much have a bag of balls sitting on the bench at that point? I mean,
yeah.
You legitimately have this guy there for one reason, and that's just a pinch run. You can't pinch hit him. You know, he's got speed, but he's not a stellar defender. He doesn't have a great throwing arm, so I don't know why you waste the roster spot in the postseason. Do they really have that to give away when, I mean, in reality, face it, they probably need to carry another bullpen arm, don't they?
I would think so, and I don't know who made that suggestion, but I have a feeling that's not going to happen.
Well, the writer of this article was someone named Jeff Todd. I don't know him, but that's just the name attached to it. So,
well, you don't know his credentials, but that certainly doesn't make too much sense, at least to me.
You know, I mean, yeah, he could just be a guy like me who writes a blog every couple times a week and thinks he knows everything. So you got to be careful with guys like us. But, yeah, I had completely forgotten that Gore was actually still with the Royals. I thought maybe he had ventured on and ended up in Japan like some of those guys do, or, you know, possibly, you know, Korea or one of the other, you know, baseball, foreign baseball lands that we have and guys go over to and do fantastic at and then come back. But yeah, he's still hanging around. So we'll get to see him in a Cub uniform here in probably a couple weeks.
Yeah, September is getting ever closer. And don't forget that less than 3 weeks, it'll be Labor Day. So the last month of the regular season is almost upon us.
And then another announcement, concerning, well, he's technically a former Chicago player, former White Sox, was actually in their rotation back when they won the World Series. I saw that Brandon McCarthy is finally going to call it quits at the end of the year. He's played in 13 seasons, but he's had, this is the definition of an injury-plagued career. He just couldn't really seem to catch a break. He made 30 starts one time.
I don't think he's pitched in 2 months yet. It's been at least 2 months since he's pitched this season, correct?
Yeah.
Hasn't he been pitched since then?
I can double check and tell you when he made his last start quickly.
Probably not. I don't think he's pitched since June, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, his last start was actually June 25th, where he did get the win. He went 5 innings against the Baltimore Orioles and picked up his 7th win of the season. So he's, he does have a winning record on his way out the door here. He made 15 starts for the Braves. I don't know. You know, who knows if he's going to pitch again. What do they have here? He was moved to the 60-day DL with right knee tendonitis. And the earliest he could return at this point is the beginning of September. Maybe he gets another start or two to save an arm as it's coming down the stretch for the Braves, but I don't think we're going to see him too much more. He is 34. This is his 13th season. So,
well, he's made a few bucks over the course of those 13 seasons, so I think it's a wise decision for him to be hanging him up.
Yeah, with all the injuries he's had, I can't say I'm hugely surprised that, you know, even though 34 is still considered very young, he's just had so many injuries. It's probably just easier for him to just walk away at this point.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah, I was just kind of looking to see if anything else came up, big or huge that we, the Phillies finally activated Wilson Ramos. He had been hurt when they picked him up in the trade, so he's finally on their active roster. We'll have to see if they plug him into their lineup right away.
And isn't Cano due back from his suspension, or is he due back? Is he back already?
Yeah,
I think he's back.
I went 1-for-4, so that was Dan and I were kind of talking about that yesterday. Maybe you can kind of chime in here. I've heard kind of both sides of the equation here. You know, it's good that he's back. It's bad that he's back. I heard one of the guys actually complaining that he gets to play in the minors while he's suspended, but then one of the guys sitting at the desk with him on the MLB Network made a good point saying if he wasn't allowed to play, it would technically be more than an 80-game suspension because he would need time to get ready. So So I didn't have too big of a problem with that. But do you buy him as a help here to the Mariners, or does he become a distraction? Because, you know, he's not eligible for postseason if they get there.
No, but they're in a dogfight now in the American League West, and I think he could certainly help them out for the last month and a half of the season, the regular season, in my opinion. What do you think?
I thought it was a great deal. I mean, it was making, you know, it was like making a trade for a superstar without having to give anybody up. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's a career 100 hitter. So I don't know how it could be bad, but you know, there's always kind of that guy out there who just thinks it's not going to work out.
Right. And I have a question for you now. I was just thinking about this the other day. Do you realize that the way things are going now, it's now theoretically possible for Houston not to make the playoffs?
So,
staggering. When you think about it, that is staggering considering how well they played until recently. And it's amazing. They could be out.
Imagine if Houston wins that division and the Mariners and the A's end up with the two wildcard spots and the Yankees end up out. Imagine the uproar then that the networks will be having because they won't have the Yankees to cover.
What is ESPN going to do if the Yankees don't make the playoffs?
Oh, God, yeah, that would be they would focus all their coverage on the Red Sox, but yeah, it's really going to be, you know, that's the only American League division worth talking about, and it's going to be really interesting there to see how it kind of shakes out. I mean, it's hard to believe that Houston's lead is down to just one game over the A's, with
incredible,
you know, the way that's up for them.
Yeah, it's really amazing how well they've played this season, the A's, that is, and Seattle too. I suspect that Seattle would have a good team, but Oakland is really shocking me.
Yeah. Well, you know, the more I look at Oakland, the more just kind of, I don't know if you could call it magical or how you would describe it. It just is, because, you know, I mean, I jokingly mentioned that they had Brett Anderson pitching for him today because, you know, he's an ex-Cub. He's done, with the exception of today, he's done basically just kind of average for them. But, you know, I think we mentioned it before. They're using Trevor Cahill and now Edwin Jackson in their regular starting five, and both these guys are pitching really well for them.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. What magic that Billy Bean does to these guys, and you think they're through and over the hill and everything else, and he turns them around and makes them great players. How does he do it?
Yeah, that's one of the things I would love to know. I mean, you know, Jackson was a big free agent signing when the Cubs first started their rebuild, and it wasn't going to work out. I mean, that team was going to lose 100 games pretty much no matter who was there.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you kind of, you know, Cahill was brought in to be a solid middle guy, and it didn't work out for him here. I thought he had found his niche last year with San Diego when he had a fantastic year out of the bullpen. I was like, oh, okay, maybe he's kind of found his role as that middle, you know, middle guy who can give you multiple innings out of the bullpen. And, you know, then all of a sudden he ends up in Oakland and he's in the rotation. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. Well, the A's must be desperate. And, you know, here he is. He's got, what's he got? Let me double check. Yeah, he's 4-2 in 14 starts with a 3.39 ERA.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
Yeah. And, you know, boy, he would have looked much better in the club uniform than Tyler Chatwood would have.
Yeah, for sure. So, for sure. Anybody would have looked better than Tyler Chatwood, who has been really the disappointment of all disappointments. And I can't even classify Darvish like that because he's been hurt.
Yeah, you know, just to one up in here, Edwin Jackson's made 9 starts for the A's. He's also 4-2, and his ERA is 2.48. So I don't know.
You know? Yeah, I can't figure that out. I cannot. To me, he looked like he had nothing when he was with the Cubs, and that was a number of years ago. And
yeah.
Somehow he turns it around, and supposedly the the American League is stronger than the National League, but not the way he's pitching.
Yeah, you know, and the, you know, the A's are that, you know, kind of a, you know, kind of a weird team. I mean, if they do end up in the wild card game against the Yankees, you know, I mean, I've heard everybody talk that it's not going to be a big deal and the Yankees are just going to stomp whoever ends up in that game. You know, it'll probably be Sean Manaea making the start for the A's. He's thrown a no-hitter this year. He's definitely their ace. He's 11-8 and a 3.44 ERA over 24 starts. He could easily go out there and, you know, shut the Yankees down or limit them to a run or two in, you know, in six innings. And then, you know, Oakland's got that bullpen that is just lights out. You know, they could get beat 2-1 or 3-2.
Yeah, that would be rather embarrassing for the Yankees.
You know, then we'd have to listen to everybody cry about how they end up in the wild card instead of winning the division, and then, you know, everybody, including the MLB Network, would want to reseed the playoffs. So,
yeah, that's always going to be talk when these disparities happen like that.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, obviously we've heard, you know, I've heard quite a few complaints about Cleveland. You know, it's just kind of dumb luck that, you know, three of the teams in that division are rebuilding. And Minnesota didn't play anywhere close to what the potential people thought.
No, and Cleveland is what, about 12 games over? Isn't that about what they are?
They're 12 and a half up now going in. But, you know, they did lose, you know, Trevor Bauer went on the DL with that stress fracture in his right fibula. I don't know if they described it as a small stress fracture. I guess maybe that's better than a large one. But, you know, there's no timetable for a turn. They're thinking maybe he's back in time for postseason. But, you know, now you're looking at a guy who's been off a month and a half, and how much can he really give you?
Yeah, I even question whether he'll be back in time for the playoffs, because that is not an easy injury to heal.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was kind of like, well, okay. You know, I mean, everybody's kind of looking at it as, well, you know, it's no big deal. You know, the Indians have this big lead. You know, it's not going to cost them the division. But, I don't know. Come playoff time, yeah, I don't know.
No, and who would they play? They'd play the winner of the West, wouldn't they, in the first round?
Yeah. The Red Sox will have the best record, no doubt, so they'll get the wild card winner. And then, yeah, it looks like the Indians, and, well, right now it would be the Astros, but it could be the A's or even possibly the Mariners.
Right? Sure. And that would be the second, people wouldn't even be thinking too much about that round. They'd be concentrating on Boston, whoever they play. Of course, if they wind up playing Seattle, they could even wind up playing Houston. Houston could become a wild card team too.
Yeah, it's like in the National League, we still have, I think, you know, the Cubs have the biggest lead, but that division is, you know, nowhere close to being settled. You know, in the other divisions, what they both have, well, Philadelphia is two games behind Atlanta, and then Colorado is one game behind the Arizona. It's actually the Dodgers who can't close now because Kenley Jansen is hurt, and I believe they've lost four straight games in the ninth inning. They've actually fallen to two back. So, yeah, while the National League, they're all up for grabs with what's going on there. But, yeah, Boston has a 10-game lead in the East, and actually Cleveland's lead since Minnesota won today is down to 12. But, yeah, out west, Oakland's a game behind Houston, and Seattle's 4.5 behind Houston. So
Seattle's kind of tapered off a little bit lately, haven't they?
Yeah, well, you know, what was weird is they went into Houston and swept the four-game series.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic, and then they ran into Oakland, and they've lost two in a row. So it just kind of worked out that way for them.
I was interested, by the way, to see the attendance they had for the Atlanta Braves game the other day. Now, here's a team that's two games ahead in a very close race in the National League East. And I think they have about a 41,000 capacity. And for the game the other day, I think they won the game, but for the attendance, they had 19,000.
Yeah.
Not even half.
You know, Atlanta,
not even half. Whoa.
Yeah. Atlanta is notoriously never drawn for whatever reason. You know, even all those teams with Smoltz, Maddox, and Glavin, and they were winning every year, didn't draw.
Yeah. I don't know if they draw in basketball either, or any of the sports. I guess football.
No, even football.
Do they get capacity crowds for football? I don't know. I have my doubts.
No, they've talked about that many times, how Atlanta has trouble selling out, even though they've got a good football team. The basketball team now is terrible, but even like when they had Dominique Wilkins, they hardly sold out.
Yeah.
It's the kind of city it is. I don't know if, maybe they're transplants a la, Florida, where they already have teams and they don't support the home team, or, who knows, maybe they're just not interested, or, at this day and age, just recently going to a game, it's possible people are priced out.
Yeah, I know that. I know the feeling on that.
Yeah, I definitely couldn't afford to go to, more than a game or two a year, and that would be just buying tickets for me. I couldn't imagine trying to buy for, say you got a family of, five. It's you, your wife, and three kids. Imagine that bill for a game.
Well, it's got to be in the $200-$300 at least.
Easily. And then, if you drive, you got parking, and, the kids are going to want concessions or, maybe a souvenir. The next thing you're going out of there, you spent $300. That's your family vacation, a day at the ballpark.
Yeah, that's incredible how the prices have escalated over the years. Yes, I found out when I went to that game a month or so ago.
Yeah. So yeah, you just wonder, how that kind of works out for families or teams in those areas. So
yeah, I'm sure a lot of the corporations now have purchased season tickets and they dole those out to their customers and the business associates. And are they putting the family out of the market by doing that?
I should actually look. The company I work for, their home, our home base is Atlanta. So I wonder if they have a season ticket plan.
Well, if you ever relocate there, maybe you could probably afford those tickets. I'm sure they're not as high priced as the Cup tickets.
Probably not. Well, here, looking ahead for you, in case you're in Atlanta or you're going to be traveling there, you can get tickets for tonight's game. Then they have the Rockies series where Thursday and Friday, or actually Thursday you can get tickets, but Friday and Saturday already sold out. Friday is Chipper Jones bobblehead night, so unfortunately you're going to miss out on that.
No, I won't be able to get the Jones bobblehead. Quite unfortunate.
And then
go ahead.
Yeah, Sunday in Colorado is sold out as well, so they did sell out the weekend series against the Rockies, and I guess it's not a surprise they're not selling out against the Marlins, though.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all, the way the Marlins performed this year. And, of course, we know how well they draw.
Good Lord. That's a bit small with that team. I don't know what they – hopefully the rebuild goes quickly and they can kind of turn it around. But, I don't know. That's an ugly situation. And I know Derek Jeter's always had good luck. He's going to need it to turn that team around.
Yeah, I remember that they did win the World Series 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's one of those oddities there, that they actually had some. And, they've spent money before. They've tried to do things like that, but, it just, this year they decided to go the other route and, shipped everybody off they could. And I assume, if anybody still wants any of their veterans, they'll be moving them. I was quite surprised to see they traded Justin Bour, cause he was still a relatively young guy, nice power hitting left-handed first baseman, but, I guess they got a good offer for him from the Phillies and decided to make the move. We'll see if their scouting is good and their drafting is good and they can rebuild it. But, we know, from experience, it does take 4 to 5 years to be competitive again.
Yeah, sure. And we don't know how these trades are going to occur, how they're going to work out for them. As you pointed out, it'll probably take 3-4 years before you find out one way or the other if it was a good deal or not.
Yeah, and especially, you know, you're getting these kids. We were talking a little about it yesterday. The Brewers picked up another arm. They got Jake Thompson from the Phillies for basically nothing. Thompson, 3 years ago, was a top-rated pitching prospect. He was a can't-miss ace. You know, he was going to be the guy. Well, the can't-miss ace missed because you were talking about an 18-, 19-year-old pitcher who is coming out of, you know, either high school or college and is stepping way up in class against a smaller sample size, and all of a sudden he's getting knocked around. But, you know, that, and that's the problem I have with all these ratings. You can tell me this is the best minor league system or that's the best minor league system, but anytime it's based on those guys who are down in Class A, I don't buy it because they're so far away and things can change so much, especially with pitchers before you get here, that I'm just never going to buy it.
Yeah, as you, I'm always skeptical in Class A. Double A, maybe not as much. Not as much as there's a potential there. And, of course, there's Triple A. And how many players, though, have we seen in Triple A that look like they're great pitchers or hitters and failed in the majors?
Well, you know, and obviously the two best cases you can look at are, you know, the Cubs and the Astros have been the teams that have been the most successful with this. The Cubs have no starters in their rotation that came through their entire minor league system. Kyle Hendricks spent a little bit of time in AAA for them, but he spent the majority of his minor league career with the Texas Rangers.
Right.
I think the Astros have one in Lance McCullers Jr., who came through their system. Everybody, you know, obviously Verlander was a trade, Cole was a trade, Morton was a free agent signing. You know, so what, you know, you kind of look at it, I mean, the real way to rebuild is you draft hitting and you buy pitching. You know, that seems to be the technique. You know, so far for the Braves it's working out. You know, they're basically doing it with all their own guys and they're having a tremendous year this year. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, you know, even in Philly's case, they built their staff around Aaron Nola, who was their guy, but then they signed Jake Arrieta because they needed the big veteran.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I know Arrieta has ups and downs, but Philly's probably not in second place without him.
No, for sure. And Atlanta, though, seems to have a very young team right now. And so they could be a force for quite a number of years now. They can go back to their glory days again, like they were when they won every year, division, year after year after year.
Yeah, you know, you do wonder how that's going to work out for them, because obviously, you know, the difficulty with young guys, and especially in today's game, is they're going to be inconsistent. So, you know, and I mean, we know the deal. You know, once the league gets a book on you, you've got to be the one to make adjustments. So we'll have to see if the league can catch up with these guys or, you know, how it kind of works out for Atlanta. But, you know, I mean, at least right now they've got something to look forward to.
They do.
You know, it's better than losing 100.
Yeah, for sure. But as you pointed out, baseball's a game of adjustments, both from pitching and hitting. And it's up to the player to see if they can adjust to the adjustments. And if they don't, well, they could be out of baseball very quickly. I've seen it happen too many times over the years.
Yeah, we've heard it so many times. Yeah, this guy's can't miss or that guy's can't miss, and then all of a sudden, you know, the next thing you know, he's being traded to somebody else because it didn't work out here, and then, well, he's gone. Where is he? What happened to him?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just one of.
They wind up playing in Japan, where the competition is maybe not as strong, and they could make a few bucks there too. And we know several players who have done that over the years.
Yeah, and you know there has been a guy here too who's managed to come back and actually have some success. So, you know, I still find it humorous that, you know, Tuffy Rhodes went over there after washing out with the Cubs and hit like 60 home runs in a year.
Yeah.
You know, he went to Japan and he became this ginormous power hitter. So,
well, Tuffy had that great first game with the Cubs. That was, after that, it was all downhill.
you know, which we'll never forget. And, you know, sadly, you know, I mean, I know, you know, we always kind of relate things to the Cubs, but that's because, you know, that's the team we're used to dealing with. And I mean, I remember quite a few, you know, remember Corey Patterson was going to be a can't miss outfielder. And then it was Felix PA, you know, just, you know, none of these guys panned out.
Yeah. And the guys I always mentioned that were before your time are one, Bob Speak, and two, Adolfo Phillips. And I told you what DeRocher said about Adolfo Phillips, right? He's the next Willie Mays. He wasn't.
Yeah, well, you know, I still remember one of the things that I read when I was reading. I'm sure you'll remember being a Cub guy, but when they drafted Brett Jackson, the outfielder, one of the things they stated in his draft log was he had Mike Trout characteristics. I'm not sure what those characteristics were, but
he had Mike Trout characteristics. Unfortunately, though, those characteristics didn't relate to baseball.
Yeah, so it just kind of, you know, just kind of scuffled there with it. So, you know, just how it worked out, you know. And then obviously, you know, the big recent guy, and thank God, you know, the Cubs got lucky here because the Astros decided they wanted Mark Appel instead of Chris Bryant. You know, imagine how different that draft looks if the Astros they want Chris Bryant, the Cubs would have probably taken Appel, who was just a gigantic draft bust.
Tremendous.
You know, I mean, I mean, it's possible. There's talk that he's the biggest bust in draft history, especially recently here.
Maybe,
you know,
in
with
the last
all the analysts.
4 or 5 years, but I don't know if he's the biggest one in history there. I'm sure there's a few others on the list.
Yeah.
Have you heard, by the way, talking about Chris Bryant, any updates on his shoulder ailment?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen anything as of late. Let me see if they have any updates here. No, the last update still has no set timetable for his return.
Yeah,
so
it's still bothering, obviously. Yeah, the only reason I asked that is because Bodie didn't hit a home run today.
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely been an odd year for Bryant. You know, you wonder how long that shoulder actually bothered him, because you know his power never seemed to come this year. It just never seemed to be there.
Maybe
how long he was
quiet.
Dealing.
They must have kept it quiet because it had to have been bothering him a long time. And didn't he get the injury originally? Wasn't it in May when he made that hit for a slide?
I believe so.
That's a dangerous slide to me. I don't know. That always bothered me. But so many players do it now, and I always wonder why. Why do they do that rather than the normal slide?
So yeah, the one quote I have here is Bryant said that the quote he used was, "I'm not going to get ahead of myself." In making his return, because remember, he originally went on the DL and then came off and ended up having to go back on. So
right.
You wonder if maybe if he stayed on the first time and didn't try to rush back,
we could be
in a different.
Right, that's right. They have done a couple of MRIs, and I believe that there's no structural damage. It's just the inflammation that's bothering him.
So. That's all they really have here on him. No other updates since that. On the plus side, though, Jeff Samardzija threw 30 pitches off the bullpen mound, so he's getting ready to come back. I know you're excited about that.
It's a little too late for San Francisco, unfortunately. I believe they're 1 or 2 games below 500, and there's 3 teams ahead of them, so I think they can kiss their chances goodbye of making the playoffs for this year.
Yeah, actually, in beating the Dodgers the last 2 games, they're actually over 500 now. They're a game over. But, and it's funny because they're only 5 out. But like you said, they got to figure out how to get by 3 teams. And while it's not a lot of games, it's a lot of teams, and that's tough to do.
Very difficult. Yeah, I always get the those results from the West Coast come in so late that somehow I don't pay attention to what happened. And the last I remember, they were, I think, a game or so below 500, but now they're over. They beat the Dodgers two in a row.
Yeah, well, you know, the only reason I actually ended up knowing that is because I saw the Dodgers blow another save. You know, that was – it's four in a row. They've lost five games in a row, but they've blown the last four late because Kenley Jansen is hurt and they don't have a closer.
Right,
so I was able to kind of – and I realized that it put the Giants over 500 with the win.
You have to say that the two most surprisingly disappointing teams in the National League this year have been – Washington and the Dodgers, although they still both have a chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, slowly but surely, Washington's chances are kind of ebbing away. You know, I was banking on the fact that they had a lot of games left with, I think it's the Phillies. But, you know, now, you know, they've slipped to eight back. They've lost three in a row, I think, the last two to the Cardinals, maybe the last three to the Cardinals. But, yeah, I'm really beginning to question. They're going to have to get on a really hot run, and they're only 500 at 60-60. What a disappointment they are.
Tremendous.
But I asked Dan the other day, maybe you could answer this question. You know, Dave Martinez was brought in because they wanted to be, you know, younger and hipper, so they shipped good old Dusty off. Is Martinez one and done after this disappointing season, or are they to give him another chance?
That's a very good question. I would give him one more chance, but I wouldn't be surprised if they got rid of him.
You know, because obviously the big question going to be this off season is, you know, now that they're an incredibly disappointing team, does Bryce Harper look to come back, or maybe will he try to take his fortunes to a better contender?
And he might just do that, although his year has not been that great either.
You know, it's weird because I didn't think so either, but yet I heard guys saying that he's going to get MVP votes, and I couldn't figure out why. I mean, I don't think I would have him in my top 10. But there's guys saying he's a top 5 MVP candidate.
Why would they say that? Because of the amount of homers and RBIs he has?
Well, you know, it's all analytically, thank you, I said that correctly, driven.
Yeah.
And I guess with, you know, the walks and the home runs, because RBIs don't matter anymore. You have to throw those out the window. I heard somebody say that they're just lucky stats. With the home runs and the, you know, the OPS and the slugging and the walks, apparently he's a fantastic analytical player. But I don't know how a guy hitting .236 is a fantastic anything except for an out the majority of the time this year.
Yeah, I would certainly not put him in the top 10 of MVPs for sure.
I could start throwing guys out. I mean, I was laughing yesterday with Dan because we were talking about analytics. And, you know, after the first month of the season, Matt Carpenter was considered the worst player in baseball analytically.
And now he might be the MVP.
So, yeah, now he's on the verge of winning, you know, possibly winning the MVP. You know, obviously, you know, Nolan Arenado's having another fantastic year in, you know, Colorado. You know, Paul Goldschmidt bounced back from that terrible start. He's starting to rack up MVP numbers again. Of course, we can't discount Javi Baez.
No,
you know, Dan
no,
thinks
he
it's going
to
hurt
because
he doesn't play
to be a contender.
Yeah, no, he's right there. I mean, you know, the sad part for Baez is he may end up leading the National League in RBIs, and everybody keeps saying now that stat doesn't matter. So,
well, to me, that's a very important stat, driving in runs.
What I couldn't figure out when I was listening to these guys talk, and maybe you can explain this to me, but if I've got a runner on second with two outs, or maybe just a guy on third, I would very much like a guy at the plate who can hit, get a hit, and drive that guy in. Now, that's just me, because I'm realizing now that analytics doesn't calculate winning into any of its totals. but I want to win the damn game. So I need somebody who can drive a run in for me. But they don't seem to understand that when it comes to laying these things out.
I always consider the clutch player who can drive in a run in scoring position when he comes to bat when there are two outs as being very, very important. But I guess the analytics doesn't care about that possibility as I do.
You know, the funnier thing analytically-wise is if Chris Bryant would have hit third or fourth for the Cubs last year and driven in 100-plus runs, we may be talking about a guy who won back-to-back MVP awards. But the fact that he was in that two spot and he barely got the 70 RBIs last year really hurt his candidacy.
Oh, sure.
You know, if he would have been a 100-plus RBI guy, there's a chance he could have won it again.
Yeah, and based upon the fact that he can play multiple positions, too, and he's a great base runner, surely would also be factors into that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just kind of humorous. But, yeah, again, you know, looking at the National League, maybe Harper sneaks in the top 10, just kind of looking at the guys, because like some guys, you know, Eugenio Suarez from the Reds is having a good year. He's not going to get any votes. No, you know, nobody's going to vote for him.
No.
Scooter Gennett is kind of in both. They're both having really good years, but they're playing in Cincinnati. So I just don't see either guy calculating any numbers. But, you know, like you got to figure Jesus Aguilar gets some votes from Milwaukee. I don't know if it'll be enough to put him ahead of Harper. You know, Freddie Freeman, obviously, in Atlanta. And you just wonder how they're going to split it up with him and Nick Markakis. You know, Freeman's hitting for more power. Markakis actually has more RBIs and a better batting average. So
yeah,
who's
by
the
who's way,
the
Aguilar has a very solid batting average to go along with his homers and RBIs.
Right. Well, you know, that's the one thing about all these guys I'm kind of looking at is they have all really solid batting averages. You know, some of them are over 300. So, you know, and then you get to Harper and it's 236 on a 500 team. I don't think that guy's on my ballot.
Not mine. I would not even consider him. Maybe in years past, but certainly not in 2018.
So, but yeah, you know now with power, you know, being king, and you know he is tied for second in home runs. I know we're going to get a lot of talk. They're going to be like, well, you know, he walked so many times, and he's walked 130 times, but he's also struck out 91.
Yeah, that's actually less than I thought. That's for him. That's a pretty good stat.
He walked 91 times and he struck out 130. So
that makes more sense.
That
makes more sense.
There,
yeah. That
so,
makes more sense. You know he's going to strike out 150 times a year. That's him.
So, but yeah, you know, and then when you know, I keep hearing about the, you know, the contract talk for him, and it's just, you know, it's astronomical with the numbers that are out there, and it's just like, man, is somebody really going to give him 10 years at 400 or 500 million? I mean, are, you know, the Yankees or the Dodgers or maybe, you know, the Angels who have money, you know, the Red Sox are another team that have money. Even the Cubs, is a team like that going to step up and really, really make that kind of absurd contract offer to sign him? You know, and then, what does Machado get who's having a better year than Harper?
Yeah, mega bucks for sure. But I don't see Harper getting that kind of a contract for based upon how he's done this year and what he's done in years past. And I'm not sure how many teams would you say would be interested in acquiring him next year. Boston? I don't know about that. Do they really need him? Maybe the Yankees, but they're having a solid year also. The Dodgers always come to mind. I mean, the Dodgers always have the money to sign a player like that. Maybe they'd be interested.
Well, you know, the Phillies have stated that they're interested in either Harper or Machado, not both, but one or the other. The Giants have actually come out and said that they're going to go after Harper in free agency. So, you know, they're right there, you know, as well. So we're going to get some bidding. I just don't know, you know, where it ends or how it totals out. But the number, you know, the numbers for me, it's just shaking my head when I hear it, because it's like, you know, okay, he's a, you know, I guess you could say he's a great player, or, you know, he looked like he was going to blossom into a great player, but he's, you know, he's had some struggles here. You know, he was an MVP a few years back, but I don't know if the numbers have really been there. You know, this year, I mean, he did hit .319 last year, but he was dinged up a little bit. He only played 111 games. And yeah, I mean, this year, unless this year is just an anomaly, I don't know how else to look at it, and I guess that's what teams are banking on.
Well, that's certainly a disappointing year for him, and I don't think it's going to help him that much in getting the money he wants when he goes into free agency. I mean, why would you want to pay all that kind of money for a guy who hits .230?
Well, you know, that's where I think they're kind of hoping. You know, he's just about a career .280 hitter. So I think they're hoping this is just a fluke year, and, you know, next year he's going to be on track. But that's a lot of money to throw out there to take that chance on.
Right. And most of these guys, they may have a slow start or two, and eventually they kind of go into what they normally hit. Even take Rizzo, for example. He had a terrible start to the year, and now he's hitting a respectable, .265?
Yeah, I think that's what I saw.
Right, but .230 for me is not going to make it. That's just way too low batting average.
That's kind of where I was. But you know, and Washington wants to keep him, so they may have to. You know, and he is a Scott Boras client, so you know he's going to push for that. You know, that maximum money, with you know where it's going to shake out. And you know, you just wonder which team is going to be the team that ends up giving it to him.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. The offseason will certainly be interesting. And, well, I've got to ask you a question. That's a baseball question, but not in this line. Who's the hottest team in the majors other than Boston at this moment?
Oh, I don't know. I'd probably say St. Louis.
I would agree. They are a very, very dangerous team, and they're very close now to Milwaukee in the standings, aren't they? Aren't they even with them in the last column?
I thought I heard this morning St. Louis has won 7 in a row, so that should have closed the gap a little.
They're
currently 4.5 behind the Cubs, and they are. Both St. Louis and Milwaukee have 55 losses, and Milwaukee has played 3 more games.
Right, and the Cubs are, 5 games ahead of those teams in the loss column, but that's not a lot for them either. And I believe Milwaukee and St. Louis play quite a few games left this year, and coming up fairly recently now. That'll be a very important series, St. Louis against Milwaukee. And who would you root for?
That's good for the Cubs. I guess you just root for them to split, right, so nobody gains that ground?
Yeah.
You know, that would be the.
They're certainly a dangerous team. Take a look at them. Take a look at them on paper, and they're a force to be reckoned with. Especially the way they're playing right now.
So yeah, they've been. You know, really, you know, well, you know, Carpenter obviously has been kind of carrying the load there. So, you know, and I know they've gotten some really good pitching out of some young guys.
Yeah, they're a talented club, and
I thought I read they're getting Carlos Martinez back really soon, and he's actually going to work out of the bullpen to start. So, well, here you go. The Brewers and the Cardinals actually meet this weekend in St. Louis for a 3-game series.
I knew it was coming up, but I didn't know it was this weekend. So,
they'll be there. Milwaukee's off tomorrow, and then they're going to St. Louis. And then they have 3 more games in St. Louis, September 24th, 25th, and 26th. So, it looks like they got 6 games left, all in St. Louis, though. So that, yeah, that could
that'll
be
tough.
A
that'll be tough for Milwaukee. That'll be very difficult for Milwaukee. They're a tough club at home. And one thing, you know, that St. Louis is a baseball town. They're a really a true baseball town. And you know those games are going to be sellouts, all of them, or near sellouts.
Yeah. Yeah, and I actually just saw that it now looks like Milwaukee won't be getting Jimmy Nelson back this year. It looks
That's
like he's
right.
going to end up missing
that.
The whole season.
Yeah,
yeah, they were kind of counting him to come
it's
back
shame,
and help
really,
the
that, yeah, it's really a shame that it's somewhere there what happened. And yeah, I saw the report that he's done. He's done for the year, and that certainly can't help their chances any.
So, yeah. You know, well, here's my luck. I put Joey Ohtani in my home run derby team, and he's not playing today, so I got to go get another guy.
what's the time limit? Do you have a time limit that you have to get this in?
Yeah,
by?
I got time. It doesn't start till it doesn't start for 15 minutes, so I just got to find a guy to plug in and then decide who I want to go with my other two guys here. So, Well, normally I always go with Trout and Harper because, you know, basically I've jinxed them the entire year. Even though Harper has homered for me the last couple games, so that's a big plus. But Trout is obviously out now, so I have to come up with two guys to pair with Harper. So, you know, it's just finding the right guy to get in there and, you know, kind of off the radar guy. So.
Did the Braves play tonight, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure I would suggest looking for someone in that lineup. They've been pretty potent lately.
Well, you know, you think Acuna Jr. is going to lead off with another home run? I could put him in the lineup there.
Yeah, so. I thought about that, but I mean, how many games in a row can he do that? I picked him for Rookie of the Year, but I don't think he's going to make it. By the way, I did pick him for Rookie of the Year, but I think his I don't think he's going to make it. He won't be the Rookie of the Year in the National League.
You suggested it. I'll plug Freddie Freeman in as my third guy today. So.
All right. Well, that makes sense. That's a good selection.
So I end up with Bryce Harper, Freddie Freeman, and Jose Ramirez as my home run derby team for the day. So
nothing wrong with that selection.
By the way, you mentioned
Ohtani, right? How would you classify the hype? The hype, has he lived up to the hype this season?
Well, I don't think it was possible at all for him to live up to the actual hype because it was just completely out of control with the way they were treating him. But I have noticed that lately it's cooled. You know, even though he's just hitting well, there hasn't been much talk about him. So I don't think he was quite the player that they thought he was going to be, but you know he's having a solid year. I mean, you look at his numbers; he's played 66 games. He's hitting .271, which isn't bad. 12 homers, 34 RBIs. Now he has struck out 66 times, so it's once per game, which is kind of a rough number. And he's walked 25, but you know strikeouts are expected in today's game, so you can't really say much about that.
Yeah, but certainly not superstar stats, though, by any stretch of the imagination.
His pitching numbers were better. You know, he had those 9 starts. He was 4-1 with a 3.10 ERA. You know, it really looked like he was going to be the stud pitcher. But, you know, obviously we saw what happened there. And I know he threw a bullpen session. So I guess there's a chance we may see him pitch again.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. And in your opinion, the next year or two, is he going to improve or regress?
You know, the tough part is you haven't really seen enough of him. I think as a hitter, he probably regresses because I think they're really going to get a good book on him and they're going to be able to really, really dominate him with the way some of these guys throw now, especially the top starters. You know, and those elite relievers, I think they're just going to bury him.
But
as a pitcher, I had an opportunity to be a top-of-the-rotation guy just depending on how that arm holds out.
Right, and that's important because he's had some arm issues already. And the moral is, don't believe the hype. Don't believe the superstar hype.
No.
And be a little, kind of look at it with a jaundiced eye and saying, is this really going to happen? And it almost never does.
Well, here, I got something for you. I ran across this, and I was interested to know who they would pick for the Cubs. They did an article on the best August pickup for each team. Let me make sure. Yeah, best August trade in each team's history. And I was really surprised with the choice they made for the Cubs. Do you have any idea off the top of your head who that pickup might have been?
No, I'd be very interested to find out, though.
Interestingly, apparently the trade was August 17th of 2003, and the best August trade pickup in Cubs history is Randall Simon, according to this article.
Boy, I can remember very little about him, if anything.
So, yeah, they mentioned that Simon provided the spark the Cubs needed. They went 24-16 after he joined them and won the NL Central. He went 8-for-24 with three doubles and a homer in postseason that year. After the Cubs acquired him, he hit .288 with six home runs and 21 RBIs in 33 games.
Wow. Don't remember the guy at all.
No. And they gave up an outfielder by the name of Ray Sadler, so they didn't give up much to get him.
No, not at all.
So, but yeah, it's interesting when you look at, you know, some of the names that are on here. You know, like the Giants' best one was when they picked up Rick Rushel, so they went back a little ways for that. You know, Jeff Bagwell is the Astros one. So there's some big time names and Hall of Famers on the list. And then yeah, you kind of get to the Cubs and it's like, Randall Simon, really? That's where they went. But I guess he's got the numbers. So.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing. I can remember the 2003 season very well, and of course the Bartman incident and everything else, but I don't remember anything about him.
Well, here, you'll get a kick out of the White Sox. I think they went farther back for the White Sox than anyone else. The best August trade in White Sox career history was made August 25th, 1959.
I know.
When they sent a couple leaguers by the name of Robert Sager and Harry Simpson to the Pirates for who?
Ted Kluszewski, wasn't it?
There you go.
No, am I wrong?
No, you're right on. Ted Kluszewski.
Oh. Yeah, I remember that. And he actually hit a couple of home runs in the first game of the World Series against the Dodgers.
Yeah, he hit three total with with 10 RBIs in the six-game series of the Dodgers, which the White Sox lost, but he put up big
games,
numbers.
Right.
I thought it was humorous that they went farther back for the White Sox than any other team. So
yeah, that was a very brief. He was almost always a National League player, Kluszewski, and for years and years and years, and they finally. I remember that acquisition, and it really worked out for them.
Well, yeah, I got a kick out of that when I saw it. I was like, oh, good Lord, they went way back for this one. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. It was in college then, right? So that shows you how far back it goes.
So, yeah, that I wasn't even born then, so we did go way back for that one. Normally Dan makes fun of me for being old. I wasn't alive for that one. So I'm off the hook there. But, yeah,
he makes
I thought
fun
that
of
was
you. What do you think to say about me?
You haven't had to do the show, so you're okay.
All right.
Yeah. Look, how about that? Anytime you want to go over and listen to it, and see what you're doing.